This hour of the Jason Rance Show brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? International.
The president of Iceland, Guðni Jóhannesson, he is in town, and he went to the National Nordic Museum in Ballard. He got bored, then he left, but then he was surrounded by a whole bunch of homeless people, felt uncomfortable, then went back into the museum, probably. Now, I don't know if all that happened other than going to the museum. That part I've confirmed. The other part I was speculating. Chris Daniels and his huge head, he does have a massive head. Did you notice that, how big his head is? Literally, it's huge.
I mean, I've never really...
Or his body is small and his
now
head
that
is
you
big.
Point it out,
it's
yeah.
It's very big. He said, Johannesson was the keynote speaker at a Nordic Innovation Summit, which included tech leaders from around the region. He cracked jokes about ancient Icelandic tales and how names are mispronounced in the Avengers movies. Were there Icelandic names? Was it maybe a Thor movie? Or a Nordic name, I guess. Maybe it must have been connected to Thor.
Did he just leave that without any, like, backing up the data?
He didn't give any video, and I'm sure I can find the speech. I'm not watching that thing. He used jokes, apparently, as a way to dive deeper into the importance of native language and why countries should be on a mission to enhance it and protect it.
There's certainly a political aspect to language policy. Argument among the leadership in Moscow is that, well, Ukrainian isn't really a language. Let the people of Ukraine decide whether Ukrainian is a language or not, and you will get a different answer.
Yeah, maybe. His tour through the West Coast included stops at Microsoft and Amazon and Facebook. I'm not calling it Meta. And he said in an interview that he's been pitching these tech companies on making the Icelandic language easier to use on mobile devices and platforms, which it's very, there's no making that easy. Are you familiar at all with the Icelandic language?
Vaguely.
Or just even, no, you're not, you liar.
Vaguely.
Do you know what kefir is? No, you don't, so shut up.
It's an actor, Kiefer Sutherland.
It's a disgusting yogurt. It's so gross. So I'm quite familiar with Iceland and Icelandic culture, at least to a degree. I've been to Iceland several times, usually just to as a flyover, just to do a quick stop for refueling and then going on the way to London.
So that doesn't count?
Iceland is a barren hellscape of nothingness. I hate it. I was listening to Brian Suits this morning, and he just loves Iceland. He didn't really explain why, though.
Because it's a beautiful country.
First of all, you've never been. You have no idea where it is.
I've seen
You
photos.
Can't even pronounce the city I've been to, and I'm going to tell you, Reykjavik. Pronounce it.
Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
Did I miss it?
Say it again. Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
You keep ruining jokes, man. What am I doing right now?
What?
What am I doing right now?
You're shaking your head.
Could that include a clue as to what I want you to do when I have you pronounce, when I say you can't pronounce Reykjavik even though I've told you?
I'm proving,
could that mean you should have screwed it up?
I'm proving
it. It would have been a good joke, dummy. Watch, let's do okay. The actual joke. You can't even pronounce Reykjavik, and I just pronounced it for you. Say it.
Reykjavik.
See? That's a good joke.
That's the joke?
Yeah, that was a good bit. So they have, first of all Icelandic people, and I don't want to generalize, but all of them look like they have no souls.
I think that is generalizing.
Is that offensive? And I think apologies.
I think that's incredibly offensive.
Because they're ridiculously grayish, like gray blonde hair, and their eyes, there's no soul. I've looked into the eyes of many Icelandic people, and they look like they are, it seems like the kind of country, and again, I've been there a few times, it's the kind of country in which you can easily have a horror movie. Like, just totally take place, but everyone is in on it. They're all murderers or cannibals or something. I'm kidding. They're all very nice people.
Yeah,
I'm joking.
I didn't know that you hated
like
the
Icelandic
Iceland. People.
I don't like how they do names. So I had you pull up the roster for the Icelandic national men's soccer team.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about soccer. What's the first name that pops up?
Runar Runarsson.
Okay. What's the second name?
Ingvar Johnson.
Next one?
Patrick Gunnarsson.
Next one?
Hordur Magnusson.
You know him.
Of Next course. One.
He's an EPL guy.
Alphonse Stampson.
Okay, are you noticing anything?
that they're Icelandic Nordic names. I don't know.
I mean, that is true, sure. Dummy. But that's probably not what I meant. I was like, they're male. Yeah, no, I got that too.
A lot of sons?
Keep going.
It's because they're all...
Keep going.
They all end in sons.
Keep going.
Ari Leifson?
Leifson.
Atli Barkarson.
It's another son. That's so odd.
They're all sons.
They have a traditional way of naming their men and women, boys and girls. Men end with son, and women end with, I had to look this one up because I forgot it, Doter, which is daughter. The first name of the father, sometimes the mother, but it's almost always the father. It's a patriarchal name system. Is then the last name plus son. So Peyton's son would be the last name of the kid.
Of my future son?
God forbid. But yes, that's how it would work.
I kind of like that.
Now, every once in a while, they do it with the mother. I can't remember the reasons why. I think it's shaming me. I don't remember what it was.
So your name is Jason. So you'd be...
I'd be Jason's son.
Jason.
Jason's son. But it wouldn't work because I don't have an Icelandic name. This works for people who are Icelandic and they have very specific Nordic names. There's a mixture of like Dutch and whatnot. But I find that to be annoying. Everyone ends with son. And I don't need to know your father's name.
There is one player on this entire roster that doesn't end with son. And
yeah,
it's Samsted.
Yeah, there are some folks who don't end with son because they have I can't remember what it was, but it's a very specific lineage that they can prove is Icelandic. And I can't remember what it was.
Royalty or
something? It's not royalty, but it has to do with lineage. But I just find that to be both interesting and annoying. Because I want some variety.
Albert Gudmundsson.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Gudmund is his first name.
I like that. Gudmundsson. A lot of Johansson's on here.
Yeah. So, and all the women end with Doter.
Really?
Or D-O-T-I-R. Doter.
D-O-T-I-R.
That's how you pronounce and spell it. Doter. D-O-T-I-R.
That
means daughter.
Never, never find its way to America with all of our gender norms that we are.
Oh, this is a very sexist system, according to the left. I'm surprised they allowed the Icelandic president to come into this country without a protest.
Yeah, give me...
Where were all the... Where was Shama Sawant, son? No, Shama would be Shama daughter. Shama daughter would be her daughter's last name.
Well, in Seattle, it just ended a bunch of X's, right?
Yeah, I guess it would be
or
son
they,
with
them.
No, you'd have to. That's a personal pronoun. So Johannesson would be Johannesson. Put an X instead of the O. I'm surprised they haven't been called out. Because you can call out Icelandic people; they're all white.
Yeah,
it's a very white country.
Could shame them, you know, up and down.
I had, you know, what I ate there. You can pop the music down for a sec. They have something called, they have some stupid puffer bird. I think it might actually be called a puffer bird, whatever it is. And it's I don't know if they're known for this particular dish, but it is very Icelandic. And stupid Americans who go there try to eat it. And they shouldn't because, number one, despite it being a high-class cuisine there, no one in Iceland actually likes it. And number two, it's raw bird.
Raw bird?
It's raw. It's like raw little slivers of the puffer bird. Does it say
Is it the
name
puffin?
Of? The puffin. Yeah, there puffin? You go. I was close. They eat those puffins, and they're kind of adorable, but also ugly and fat and stupid. And so you just, like, you strip out, like, little pieces, and it's raw.
That's awful.
You eat them while they're alive because they have no souls in ice. I'm kidding. They're dead. But it's raw puffin flesh. I would not do it. I refuse to do it. And their coffee sucks.
But you eat the stupid pudding over in England.
Blood pudding.
Ew.
It's blood sausage, but oh my God, that's
Stop.
Good. Oh, that's good. Do you know what's in blood pudding?
Yeah.
Did we go
had,
over
you
this?
You had me Google it on air.
So good. But not puffin. Puffin's gross. The IRS continues to be aggressive. They're increasing the number of officers here in Washington State. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He'll give you some help. If I was his son, I would be Jason Gregson. if he was and I were Icelandic.
But you're not.
My dad's name was Robert, so I would be Robertson, but that's my middle name. So I would be Jason Robertson, Robert Robertson.
Too repetitive.
The more you know, I agree. Well, Jasonson. Son.
That would be good, though.
Jasonson. Jasonson. That's bad. Push the button.
What's trending? Education.
This is such a bizarre story. Everything about this story out of Frisco, Texas, as told via the New York Post, which generally means it's gone viral for the wrong reasons. Everything about this story is odd to me. There was a sanctioned senior prank at a high school that got so out of control that it ended up costing them thousands and thousands of dollars to fix damages. They forced the school to cancel classes for the remainder of the year. It was so bad. But what is a sanctioned prank? How do you sanction a prank?
It's like the school approves of it.
Yeah, no, I know what it means, dummy. I'm saying, why would you do that? Is this really the fault of any of the kids?
No, I mean, I guess.
You allowed it, adults?
If it gets out of hand.
No, it's a prank. No, of course it could get out of hand.
The sanctioned pranks are usually the lame ones.
It's so dumb. This was a horrible prank. At least what they had planned, which explains why they got a little out of control, because they're like, this prank sucks. They just were putting Post-it notes on everything.
Yeah, that's hardly a prank. It's redecoration.
It's a prank, I guess. But, I mean, that's not a good prank. They put Post-it notes all over the walls, but then it turned into just a whole bunch of vandalism. The extent of the damage was enough that the high school canceled its last classes yesterday and today as the campus was cleaned. They cut the year short for the graduating seniors. It upset nerds like this woman.
It was another level of embarrassment for me because I was expecting just to go to school the next day. Sticky notes be everywhere.
That's what the classmates say about her. Another embarrassment for the Frisco school. They say school officials said they plan to make the students responsible for the mess, pay for it. School administrators wrote in a letter, damage is estimated in the thousands of dollars and includes paint on the walls, destruction of furniture, discharged fire extinguishers throughout campus, and more. Every surface on the 3,000-square-foot campus must be cleaned, including the walls, ceilings, and floors. The Frisco Independent School District will hold students responsible for costs associated with the cleanup. Parents like Teresa woke up to videos and pictures showing the damage. She spoke with Fox 4 News.
There's quite a bit of damage to the school. The school's going to have to be cleaned completely from top to bottom. There's thousands of dollars worth of damages.
And what, does she work for the district? She's just reading off of that letter. She's one of those parents. That nerdy student is disappointed that the prank ruined her school experience.
They canceled school because of everything that happened, and now I don't get to see those teachers that were like a big part of my life. And it's just, it's not funny. It's not.
It's a little funny.
Cool. It's sad.
It's not.
Every school has one of those students.
How did they find her going
into a 3-day weekend? Mrs. Smith, you promised us the long essay was due, but you forgot to tell us. Is it still due? Yeah, we got it. This is a weird prank. My prank was way better. Yours was offensive.
Let's not talk about mine on the radio.
Yours is truly offensive. What we did, a group of us, and I can't remember all of the specific details because it was like 8 years ago when I graduated high school. We went up to a new teacher who was a former student. I'm throwing him under the bus. Pablo. I don't remember his last name. I remember his first name. He gave us the keys to the school. Overnight, or it wasn't overnight. It was like at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock the night before the a day of testing. We went to the school. We put every single desk, every single one, into one classroom in the whole school. It's a small school, but we put every single desk into one stacked on top of each other all the way up to the roof. And then we released a whole bunch of crickets that we purchased online at some like online pet store. I was not involved in that because crickets are gross. And we put cricket food around, or food for the crickets around. And I remember getting there the next day, and I'm always early. And the principal was going nuts, and all you can hear was the chirping or the little of the crickets everywhere. And they had to cancel all the tests that day. And I don't remember if it was standardized tests that they had to cancel for younger kids or if it was finals. I don't remember. I'm assuming it was finals, but I could be wrong. So don't sue me for any of the damage that was caused, because there were a lot of crickets. There were thousands of crickets we released. That's better.
No, that's a good prank.
And obviously it wasn't sanctioned.
No school should be sanctioning any good
prank. Why would you sanction a prank? I honestly don't understand.
Because it's probably their way of trying to keep control on what happens.
Well, that didn't work. That failed. That was a big failure. You can't, especially because the only way that you're going to sanction a prank is if it's a dorky prank, one that's not really a prank. One like, oh, we're going to put post-it notes. And so the kids who are involved are obviously going to devolve into wanting to do something that actually has some bite to it. So I don't think you should sanction. Just don't allow for pranks. How about that?
A
smaller group of kids will be responsible for it. You allow a prank, you get a whole bunch of kids who show up and cause this kind of problems. If you say we have zero tolerance for pranks, maybe two or three kids who will get involved and actually do something. And I guarantee you that those pranks probably not going to be that intensive because you only have two or three kids who are planning it. My group, I think, was either four or maybe five. It was Jordan, Jason, the other Jason. There's someone else I can't. We can't count Pablo. He wasn't aware of what we did. He just knew what we were going to do. I remember him saying, here it is. Don't tell me anything.
I love that. I mean, I think one of the best high school pranks that I heard of from a neighboring high school is one with near farm areas.
Enumclaw.
Okay. You didn't have to out the school.
Okay, sorry.
Anyways, one of the students brought livestock into the school overnight while nobody was there. And then the next day, the whole school just reeked of cow manure. And they put a cow upstairs because apparently there's some sort of...
Can't go upstairs.
Cows can go up, but they can't come down.
They can't come down. Oh.
So they put the cow...
Is that true?
I don't know. I am assuming they got the cow out somehow. I don't know how they got the cow out.
They slaughtered
but...
it. That's... Obviously, they slaughtered it.
That's
and
just
then they
fifth period.
It. Yeah. Then what do you think they had for lunch the next few days?
But I wish I would have been creative enough to think of the livestock in the school.
You were creative. Because you would have screwed up two jokes during this show already.
Oh, we've done great today. It's a Friday. Cut me some slack.
God, I hate Fridays so much. I hate everything about Fridays. I just wish I can go home early.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? But no, you still have another 96 minutes of radio to do.
Oh, my God. I'm not doing it.
No, you have to.
I'm not doing it.
They pay you to do radio until 6 o'clock, so you will be doing radio until 6 o'clock tonight.
That on my contract?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you know about my contract? You don't see it.
I would assume that your employer probably wants you to do the show that your name is on that says until 6 p.m.
Fine. We continue with the Jason Ranch show in a moment. But
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It is 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. It's the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle. And instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in, the communities you care about most. And we start in Tacoma, where the 5 mile drive. Have you ever done that drive at Point Defiance Park?
I have. I've heard it's haunted. That's the whole reason I went.
It is haunted.
So they say.
And so they closed it down.
That's why they closed it down?
I think so. Or maybe they don't like cars or it's dangerous. I don't know. There were a long line, apparently, of drivers last night trying to get onto the 5 mile drive. It took so long for some people because there were so many people. It was like an hour just to drive.
Just to do the drive?
Yeah, just to go 5 miles. Which I feel like kind of defeats the purpose of a drive like that. Because when you got a scenic route, you're supposed to be going a nice little amount of speed. You're not supposed to be crawling through it. When you drive down or up to out of or into Sultan Index over to Leavenworth, which I have to go to tomorrow, That's a nice little drive, so long as you're not stuck in traffic. It's fun because you're driving fast, and then maybe you stop at that one place for gas and or beef jerky. That's what I did. It wasn't particularly good because it wasn't specialty jerky. It was just a normal thing, jerky that I would normally get at a 7-Eleven. But you got to drive a little bit faster. Unfortunately, people weren't able to do that. But people like Kathy, she was there. She brought her dog Angel Eyes, which you shouldn't name your dog after Angel Eye, like a two-word name. That's stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful.
It's not like Mary Jo and you've got a little dash. It's just, it's a noun.
So does Angel Eyes talk in this clip? You set up a clip and then we went on to it.
I don't know. Let's hear what Cairo 7TV did.
I've been here probably 1,000 times and I just love it.
Sounds like she's been there 1,000 times.
She did sound like she loved it. She had to think about that, too.
She really did. And you know what? The reason why you didn't hear Angel Eyes, because it was a stuffed dog.
Oh, really?
It died 14 years ago.
They, like, went to a taxidermy?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. My guess is the dog's all like, I'd like to go for a walk, and you're keeping me in the car. I'm in protest. I'm not cooperating with this Cairo 7 TV interview.
No, I'm with Angel Eyes on that one.
Metro Parks Tacoma said that, and they made this announcement just a few days ago that they were going to close it. They didn't really give much heads up at all for the people who actually do like it, because they say the outer loop of the roadway is too dangerous. Some of the bluffs have eroded dangerously close to the road, according to Tacoma or Metro Parks Tacoma. So no more cars and trucks. You'll have to do the old-fashioned way to drive, which is just walking.
Well, that horse-drawn carriage. Can I take a horse-drawn carriage through
there? I think that's
the
same problem. In fact, I would argue that might be more dangerous, because it's not like you can, you know, move the horses at the same angle you could a car if you were getting dangerously close to the eroded bluffs.
Okay, so no horse-drawn carriage. I'll cross that off on my weekend plans.
Yeah. Cairo 7TV says there's so many cars before the gates closed that the drive took some people more than an hour. Jeez. Yeah, that's no fun. Imagine that being your last memory. You love this place, and the last 2 weeks ago you were just there. Oh, it was one of those beautiful afternoon days. It was kind of crummy in the morning, then it got nice. You got the windows down, you're blaring some music, the wind going through your hair, and you just wanted one more time, except you were going 7 miles an hour.
Bumper to bumper. Just like 5 mile drive was intended to be.
You were literally driving 5 miles per hour.
So wait, isn't it? It's 5 mile drive, correct? That's in, like, yeah, the name of the road. So now is it going to be 5 mile walk or 5 mile bike?
It's 5 mile other than car or truck.
Five mile no drive.
You could bike if you want. You could jog. You can do the I'm going to power walk and it's creepy and we're pretending that that's a sport.
No, I get all that, but I feel like we have to rename it away from drive because that, you know, that's misleading.
They really should rename it. And I wonder, do they get rid of the roads? Like, are they going to, like, bust them up?
Tear them up?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're still serving. I can't believe the road got to the point to where they're like, nope, we're not even going to fix it. Just close it down.
Well, it's not the road. It's the bluff. It's getting, it'll fall into the ocean.
Yeah, that's all road. That everything there. But I don't know.
Okay. We'll move over to Bellingham, where a man was. I love this story. A man was arrested, according to the Herald, after he allegedly. Allegedly passed out. He allegedly passed out while driving west of the Rome store on the Mount Baker Highway, blocking both lanes of traffic before then waking up and then going on a high-speed pursuit from police officers who arrived. His name is Daniel Snugulski. He's 37 years old. He was arrested on Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday morning, I guess. It's a.m., 1:45 a.m., where he, according to the Whatcom Sheriff's Department, they were called to respond to a suspicious vehicle stopped in the middle of the road. So deputy goes on there, gets on the call, is driving towards this guy. Another call comes in saying, actually, they're not, that driver isn't stopped anymore. It's the same vehicle driving into the oncoming lane of traffic. And so that person then stopped in the middle of that road, causing an even bigger issue. So the deputy gets there, ends up, I just kind of love this. The deputy found the vehicle stopped but running, taking up both lanes of traffic. The deputy found the driver passed out with her head bent forward, eyes closed, and breathing heavily. The vehicle was in drive, and the driver had their foot on the brake. The deputy saw a bag of narcotics, shocker, and a shotgun in the passenger seat, but it had its seatbelt on, so it wasn't driving illegally. The deputy placed spike strips in front of the car, but a few minutes later, the driver woke up and just drove off, going over the strips in the process. Deputies followed the vehicle for 4.5 miles, almost as long as the Tacoma 5 mile drive, before 3 of the 4 tires were deflated from the spike strips and the vehicle stopped. It's odd that it would take 4.5 miles for the spike strips to do their job. And why did it not get all 4 tires? Why only 3? It's a mystery. The driver was arrested and later identified as Kzgolowski. He allegedly admitted to using narcotics and having meth in the vehicle. He admitted to passing out in the vehicle, but said it was due to fatigue. Definitely not all the drugs.
Well, I mean, you do get fatigue taking drugs.
That's fair. I mean, work he's not, a... you know, I mean, it didn't say he took the drugs. They say deputies searched the vehicle, found a shotgun, 140 suspected fentanyl pills, 3.7 grams of meth, 30 Suboxone pills, drug paraphernalia. I think that just means bongs and maybe little spoons and little what is it that you smoke on?
Why are you looking at me like I would know?
I went through your backpack the other day and I found a whole bunch of... Okay, well, never mind. And $435 in cash. And now he's in jail, where he belongs, allegedly.
Good. I'm glad that he really drove that one home.
I like that he he should have just said he had narcolepsy. You're driving and all of a sudden you pass out. The car, he obviously passed out if what is reported is true, where the car was still on and he was just stopped in the middle of the road. Then he passed out. He woke up and was like, oh, okay. And then he went on a, it didn't say, in fairness, it didn't say a high speed chase.
Yeah, it was just,
said a pursuit.
A leisurely chase.
Hey, you know what? Had he been on 5 mile run or drive, 5 mile run is what we should call it. He would have only been going 5 miles an hour, and that's technically still a pursuit.
Yeah, bumper-to-bumper pursuit.
And in fairness, because he might have been high at the time, he could have thought he was going like 170 miles per hour, when really, he was only going 1.7 miles per hour.
Much safer.
There you go. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. Send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. I'll be on Fox News at night in the 9 o'clock hour. Hope you'll tune in. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show on KTTH. If you missed my appearance yesterday on Tucker Carlson Tonight, you can check it out online at youtube.com/JasonRants or just text the keyword rants, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Now, coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk with the union president that represents Border Patrol agents and staff. And we're interested in his perspective because come Monday, Title 42 is gone. This has been a health policy that has been used to keep about 2 million or so immigrants from coming into this country illegally because of the COVID pandemic. Now, in truth, this policy instituted under President Trump, it's not really connected to COVID. I'm just glad we have it. It's tangentially connected to COVID, even though it's presented as being all about keeping folks who might have COVID from coming into this country. Really, this was used under the Trump administration to justify just simply turning more people away from the border because he understood that when you send the message globally that we are not going to stand in the way of you coming into this country, well, guess what? It inspires people to come into this country illegally. I have no problem with folks coming into this country from other areas due to the fact that we have the best country in the world. I would want to come here if I lived in Mexico or Venezuela. I would definitely want to come here, but we can't simply allow folks to break the law. We can't allow that to happen. You have to go through the process, and if you're unwilling to do that, I'm not going to treat you with open arms, even if I understand your perspective. It's gotten so bad that both the city and the county of El Paso in Texas decided to lean into the state of emergency. Now, they haven't applied it yet, but they are getting ready to do it, to make that declaration, because they understand that when you get rid of Title 42, it sends the message that more and more people can come into this country illegally. Now, they backed off what they initially were going to do in El Paso, but they know it's coming. They know it's coming. And instead of having honest conversations about what's going on at the border, you have really bad faith actors out there, like Democrat Representative Norma Torres. She was on MSNBC today. She made the claim that, oh, no, our borders are fine. They're not porous. They're not open.
This is not a single issue. This is not just a border issue. Uh-huh. We have to be very, very clear. Our borders are not open.
They
have never been open.
They have.
But rather than working with Democrats to focus on policies to assist people in their own country, they continue day in and day out to work against every single effort that I have put forward.
This is just so ridiculous. So she's basically saying, and this is someone who, by the way, represents California, not Texas or Arizona. But this is someone who wants to pretend that we should, in order to stop people from coming into this country illegally, we should basically build up infrastructure and provide endless amounts of money to different countries, that their leaders can't take care of them themselves. And so it's on us to do so. Sorry, no. And I'm all about helping where it makes sense. But we're not going to be able to spend the amount of money to make any meaningful change in the lives of people who live in Mexico or Guatemala or Costa Rica or wherever it happens to be. And that can't just be on us, because all you have to do is close the border. She doesn't want you to think you can do that. You can do that right now. You can close the border. You can enforce the law, and that will send the message. That doesn't mean you don't help where you can when it makes sense for us and our national security, or in cases of helping people who are truly in despair because of some sort of global emergency, a crisis of some kind. But we can't simply just bribe people to stay into their own countries. We can't afford that. We can't afford the $40 billion that we just sent to Ukraine. We've got people in this country who are struggling. We have an out-of-control homeless crisis. We have an out-of-control drug crisis because of what's going on at the border, by the way. Maybe we should spend those dollars not building up other countries, but constantly reinvesting in our own communities. I know that Norma Torres doesn't want that to happen. She's busy encouraging people to come into this country illegally by her inaction. And then, of course, turns this into a political campaign against the Republicans, who she calls anti-immigrant, calls racist to the bone.
In the U.S., we have a shortage of workers.
No, we don't. We don't have a shortage of workers. We have people who are unwilling to work. There is a difference. We have plenty of jobs, that is true. But these aren't just jobs in like agriculture, right? These are not jobs that traditionally we've talked about in the context of immigration as needing to be filled. We're talking about open jobs at big companies. Blue-collar jobs, white-collar jobs. They're open, and they're open through a lot of, for a lot of reasons. Key among them is this idea that we're going to continue to pay you to stay at home. Now, that was going on for a very long time, and it has created an imbalance between the businesses and the staffers, or the future staffers, the future employees. They have outlandish expectations as far as salary, as far as perks. That's what they want. They want more and more and more. But they're not worth it yet. But they don't care. Those are the expectations that Democrats help set. And by the way, they want to work from home. They don't want to come into the office. Oh, okay. You know how we talk about a seller's market or a buyer's market? We're kind of doing that within the labor industry. It's an employee's market, I guess. Except it truly isn't, because while they're making these demands, they don't seem to understand that businesses aren't doing as well as you might think. Even when you look at Texas Target, we talked a little bit about this yesterday with Kelly O'Grady. Target put out their numbers, their finances this week, and it helped tank the market. Why? They made a whole bunch of money. They brought in a whole bunch of money, but their expenses were through the roof. So they didn't have this record-breaking income report. This record-breaking forecast isn't coming either. They might be bringing in more money, but because of COVID, they're spending a lot more. Because of inflation, they're spending a lot more. And so you going into a Target just to be a cashier saying, I demand $30 an hour. Well, that's not really going to work for Target. They're not going to be able to afford that. But let's continue with our friend, Congresswoman Norma Torres.
On agricultural visas, we can be helping to formalize the DACA recipients that have been in our country since they were babies. Many of them that grew up in our country are educated, are working professionals. They have temporary visas. Why not move on those immigration issues?
We have Hold on. Just real quick. Why not move on those issues, Norma? You're a Democrat. You're in power. Why aren't you guys moving on it? You have total control in D.C. right now. You have the White House. You have the Congress. So you and the House can pass something, send it over to the Democrats on the Senate. They could pass something. Then you get it to the Democrat in the White House who will sign it into law. Why aren't you doing that? Republicans are getting in the way, right? Even though you have the majority. But please continue.
Not been able to because there has been no emphasis from the Republicans to help it with this policy.
Why do you need them for any of this? You don't need the Republicans. Pass it right now. Pass whatever plan you have in mind. Just pass it right now. See where it goes. Oh, you don't have the votes on the Democrat side because of how extreme it is, right? Oh, no, but it's a Republican issue.
Because they need this hatred, anti-immigrant hatred, in order to continue their policies of racism and domestic terrorism.
Oh, now they support domestic terrorism, too. You know, when you get this kind of language, this kind of rhetoric from the side who keeps talking about how we need to be civil. Oh, evil Donald Trump was a big racist. All that rhetoric coming from his mouth. While simultaneously saying, yeah, because Republicans don't back our plans, they are anti-immigrant and they support domestic terrorism. Oh, okay. So absolutely ludicrous. And of course, because it's MSNBC, she gets away with that dumpster fire take. But that's MSNBC for you. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. We're back with more at the top of the hour.